It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. That's right. Welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show, where we are the Knowledge Station. Today's topic, honey, escapism. That's right. If you remember months ago, I gave you this astounding author of more than 40 books before the age of 40. Her name was Champagne Marie Oden, and we're proud to have her back because sister, since she has left the show, has come back with a PhD. That's right. So we want to welcome Dr. Champagne Oden. How are you?
Well, I just woke up, everyone. I just had my coffee, and I'm absolutely fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much for coming back to the show, and congratulations on graduating. How is it over there in Japan?
Well, I will say that I'm great, and boyfriend is great. But, I mean, we just had 25,000 new cases of coronavirus in Japan. So, you know, I mean, Japan isn't, I love this country so much. I love Japanese people so much. But it's like the rate is going up. So it does make people a little bit nervous. But other than that, we're great.
That's good to hear that you're safe. Keep in mind, people, keep wearing these masks. I don't care if you're fed up with corona. Yeah. She is not fed up with us.
Yes, and you know what's funny? Like, Japan is very heavy on, like, the mask culture, and I never bought into it until coronavirus came, and literally for the last 2 years, I've been wearing a mask, and I've only been sick once with a cold that only lasts 5 days. So those masks really, really do work, and I have not gotten anything else in 2 years.
That's good that you're bringing it up, because this summer I traveled to the States, and back home in America, the children are wilding. It's like it doesn't exist. While the numbers are up, people are totally oblivious, and seems like all the celebrities are doing concerts, and you have the Olympics, so oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know about the concerts. I thought those were still canceled. Wow.
Okay. Well, that's kind of getting into the topic today of escapism, because people woke up and decided they wanted to get rid of the notion of corona, but it doesn't work out like that. Since we're talking about escapism, can you give the people the etymology? What is escapism?
Well, you know, well, this is funny because, like, I did a live yesterday, and I really dropped some jewels in that live. And to make it a long story short, I talked about escapism. I talked about doing a PhD in Japan, and I talked about learning the Japanese language. And when I was speaking about escapism, which is something I've never really talked about as a topic, and I use air quotes for that, escapism to me is like, specifically, I've noticed, because, like, for me, I have a heavy male audience, and, like, I have females too, but it's usually men, foundational Black American men, or African men, or Caribbean men that come to me to get the game about how to big up in Japan, how to do this in Japan, which I don't mind. You know, I love to help anybody. I am a teacher. I love to help anybody achieve their goals. But what I've been finding very specifically, and, like, up to this date since I've been in this country, is foundational Black American men seem to be trying to escape their problems. And when I say their problems, I mean, listen, I've been overseas for 20 years, so I don't want to seem like I'm hypocritical, but the difference with me and them is that I understand that white supremacy is everywhere. It's a global phenomenon. Okay. I understand that. I understand that you cannot go to another country to try to escape yourself. It doesn't work like that, because everywhere you go, you go. There you are. But I feel like foundational Black American men specifically are coming to Japan to try to escape something, and it's not working for them specifically, because the difference between our men and African men, my man is African, so I can speak, well, actually, many of my men have been African, so I can speak on this. Not that many. So the difference between our men and African men is that our men don't have a concept of getting married and having literally different wives with a family in different countries. Our men don't do that. So when an African-American man marries, that's who he's rocking with, you understand me? But when they come to Japan, they marry non-black women, and then they complain that the child is not black. And what's funny, to go a little bit off of a tangent, I was in Hong Kong, I think about 3 years ago, and I met this black man and a Japanese, Chinese lady, both beautiful couple. They're so nice. But he was asking me, like, when I come back, can I, you know, come meet his daughters? And I was like, sure, but why? He said, well, you know, I want you to teach them about being black American. And I was like, I was kind of taken aback because he said this in front of his wife. And I said to him, listen, you know, if you wanted black kids, you should have had a black woman. You can't think that you're going to have some black kids with a non-black woman in Asia specifically, because the Asian culture really ingrains Asian values into their kids, which they're supposed to do. I ain't hating on that at all. So it was just really, really weird. And his wife ended up texting me apologizing, saying that it's not my job to teach their kids how to be black American. And she's right. So going back to Japan, it's like kind of the same thing where, oh, you know, my kid isn't black. And I'm like, well, why would you think your child is black? You're in Japan. Japan is the best at indoctrinating their kids, which ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not hating, but know what you're getting into. Versus African men who, and I hate to put them on blast, but, you know, they most likely already have a family and they're real kids back at home. Not my man, as far as I know. So like I said, our men don't really get it that when you come here, you know, you're supposed to come here and get your money and go back home. African men do understand that. African men, and I will say this, like, Africans do try to escape as well, but they always go back home. Whereas our men try to literally make a new home in another country, but then if they have a non-black spouse, that gives them non-black children, and then they complain about that. So that's what I mean about escapism. Sorry, that was kind of long. Sorry.
No, it wasn't, because escapism is also prevalent in the Middle East. I've only been here 6 years compared to your 20, but I've noticed that a lot of the values Americans, you know, foundational black Americans will come to the Middle East with that Western mentality, thinking that they would escape racism, escape a lot of the things that we deal with in our community. Gender-wise, one thing about the majority of black men, male military contractors out here, is they will have an entire situation at home, and they're most likely in the Middle East to find a Filipino counterpart, but often you don't find that black on black love. So when I heard your live earlier, and it really hit home with escapism of me walking down the road and seeing them with their companions. And, you know, I know their wife back home personally. She works at Roses and has 3 kids in college. And, you know, they refuse to even speak in passing. However, when the holidays come, you know, they don't want to go home because they want to just have that old Western way that we get together and the collard greens and all the recipes. They're missing the parts of home.
Right. And you know what you said is so funny? Shout out to Dr. Umar Johnson. I've worked with him a couple times before. He said the exact same thing, not exactly in those quotes, but what he did say is that black men always return to the black wound, either for, you know, relations or for to talk to her because he needs to talk to someone, or most importantly, for food. So what you're saying is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Mm. Oh, and also, can I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, story time, everyone. Okay, so this was actually at one of the 2 events I hosted with my partner, like business partner, in Japan. We hosted Dr. Umar Johnson, and we were in Nagoya. So my partner and I, we rented out a club, and I was telling my partner, he's from Uganda. I said, okay, you know, he was like, he want African food there. I said, cool. I said, this is what you're gonna do. I said, I'm not trying to, like, force you. I said, but this is what you want to get. You want to get some jollof rice and some stew chicken. That's it. And he was like, are you sure? Should we not get bangku? And I was like, nah, dude, ain't nobody eating with their hands in the club. I said, get some jollof rice and some chicken stew. That's it. And some drink. That's all we need. Girl, he got a Nigerian woman to make that food. You know, I love some Nigerian food. I love Ghanaian food. I love Cameroonian food.
Shout out.
There was a guy from New York, right? And I made a plate for everyone. Girl, when he was eating that food, I mean, he was smacking it, you know, eating with his hand. I was like, oh, I said, bro, don't take this the wrong way. I said, but you ain't got a black woman at home, right? And he started laughing because I could tell that he needed that black food. And black food is good for all black men, like whether it's Caribbean black, African black, or American black. So there's something to them needing that soul food, as you just said.
That's right. Escapism. There is no escaping it, fellas, ladies. When we look into escapism, when it comes down to the females, you know, I want to put us on blast. I want to say that oftentimes when we're looking at human trafficking, even in the black community, we're looking at Haiti and what's going on. Prayers and shout outs to Haiti. Knowing that Hillary Clinton went and bought up all that real estate, I was looking at the factor of...
Whoa. I'm sorry, Hillary, she just did that?
No, WikiLeaks is all because back in the day, the Clinton family purchased real estate for the sole purpose of their Pizzagate, which was nothing more than a human trafficking escapism. Whoa. Big, you know, Hollywood style parties for all these politicians, and they would simply order off the menu, whether it was a mini hot dog that represented a toddler, plain hot dog, cheese hot dog, you know, a chili hot dog. These were different factors for the male gender, or a pizza, whether it was plain pizza, pepperoni. When people ordered before they got there, they knew what type of infant, toddler, or child to have available. I use escapism because when I look at human trafficking, you can't do anything without the woman being involved. And it makes me think back on how a lot of times people are looking at how you can escape financially or escape your situation, whatever you're going through. And at the root cause of every situation that you're going to find human trafficking in our community, it's going to be some black woman. And I want to take it a level deeper. It reminded me of the times where being the fat friend, a fellow would look at a sister and say, hey, you got a friend? Now, subconsciously, that means he wants to escape into her draws with his homeboy, one or the other, a duo. And so this subconsciousness of allowing your friend to have access, you know, to this man already knowing what is premeditated. I think it's an escapism that happens in the minds of women as they're looking to, you know, please their men. Even when I woke up today, there is a popular influencer out there like Dr. Umar. His name is Brother Polite. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah, I know Brother Polite. Yeah, I mean, I know of him.
He was arrested back in February. There was a 14-year-old girl, the daughter of a woman he was dating. He chose escapism and taking her to a party, a nightclub, in which it was closed, and then taking her back to the hotel. Well, his semen was found, DNA proof. And just yesterday when I woke up, that's all on the news. And I take that into escapism as well, because when you think as a race of people that you're going to practice the polygamy that you see here in the Middle East, where these men, all these wives are happy knowing each other and the men can afford it, he's escapism. And somehow the women in his life, all those grown women weren't enough, girl.
Right. Wow. I'm going to have to look. I did see something about him on YouTube yesterday, but I was kind of distracted, so I didn't click on the link. But I'll definitely look that up. But all I can say is, wow.
I can take escapism and take it to the white roles. When I see sometimes people who are of European descent in Middle Eastern countries, I'm like, why did you move away from all your white power? What are you escaping from? Uh-huh. One scenario, I was working at a school where the students got upset with one of their white teachers and did a background check. Come to find out that this man had escaped being charged as a pedophile in the States and having to register as a sex offender by choosing to go and teach abroad. Now, if that ain't the definition of Caucasoid escapism, wow. I don't know what is.
So can I interject? So, okay, so when you say that to me, that implies that, I guess, in the maybe in Dubai, I'm thinking you're saying Dubai or Kuwait, they didn't, like the schools or whomever didn't check his record?
Well, this implies that they did check his record and people are able to get over on things, because you got to realize back home in America, things are already stretched out. So when you get arrested, we can name Breonna Taylor. Right now, the case is still long gone for years and years. So that was the case with him. It was stretched out where it wouldn't have been able to be something that could have been found by the schools, because they do an extreme background check on people that they have. These kids, these children were just able to uncover things while he stayed over here a few years.
Oh, so the kids busted them. Well, get on. You know what? Shout out to the kids. Children, if you feel somebody is like not right, I mean, you have all, you know, especially if this person is a pedophile, you have the right to figure that out and get that information to your parents or the school. So shout out to the kids for that. Shout out to them.
That's right. Wow. Shout out to all the babies out there. Make sure if you know, here's a little thing from Teacher Sunny. If an adult tells you don't tell your parent, that's a flag, baby. Make sure you tell your parent. Right. Yeah, shout out to the leaders out there, the leaders of tomorrow. Let's shut this down. Yeah. Escape it then. Honey.
Absolutely.
When I
and,
look,
you know, let me just interject. Like, I'm very protective of my students. Like, I have teenagers that I teach, and they're kids. So, anytime like they need to text me, I'll make a group chat with their parents and myself, just to, you know, to protect the child. Not that I'm not a pedophile at all, but it's still I have that high level of protecting the child. I take that very, very, very seriously, very seriously. And also in Japan, like, I don't know how much of a background they do, you know, to check if someone is a pedophile, but I know that your personal data is very, like, protected here. So it's like, I don't know if they can really do a background check on you, which is very surprising because, you know, Japan is, what, the third richest country on the planet? So, yeah, I just wanted to put that there.
Ooh. You know, I'm so glad we're talking about escapism, because this is uncovering a lot of things, whether we're protecting our children or protecting ourselves. This is something that people are not willing to talk about. Like, even when you get in a relationship with somebody, what are you escaping? Have you healed yourself? Politically, Donald Trump and Joe Biden right now are dealing with escapism issues when they look at the Middle East and Afghanistan. So shout outs to the people in Afghanistan. The people in Haiti are dealing with escapism, as we know that all the colonizing countries all over the world will never send support to an all-black non-colonized colony that doesn't import nor export from the world because it's self-sustained. You know, escapism allows people to go to sleep at night feeling good.
Let me interject one more time. Like, I absolutely love Haitians. Haitians are, I think, besides us and the blacks on North Sentinel Island, they're the most on code out of all the colored people on the planet. They are the only non-blacks and non-colors to be colonized. But the Haitians, besides us, are the only ones that got the white people off of them. So I love Haitians so much. If it were not for this quarantine, I would be there, you know, teaching or doing whatever to help out there. But the fact that we have this quarantine, I can't even leave the country. So shout out to Haiti.
That's right. Don't ever forget Toussaint Louverture. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, military leader. But when we look.
Yes. Ogun.
Yes. Okay, my Ogun. Shout out to the ancestors. Honey. Escapism on the continent of Africa. Once I noticed so many brothers and sisters from the continent living in the Middle East, I had to realize that through either religion or finances, there was some type of escapism that was going on. You know, people say there's no place like home, but to return to the poverty once you've lived in this opulence and wealth. So people in the Middle East, like they say, you're subjected to treated like servants, but then there's an element of escapism for people from the Sri Lanka, from India, from the entire continent of Africa that comes over to the Middle East, because in essence, like myself, we're all escaping something. And earlier in the show, you brought up the fact that we're not escaping racism. You know, and that has
Even if you go to Mars, what's his name? Mr. Musk?
Bezos, Jeff.
Where are you going? Oh, Jeff is there. Right.
Okay. You know,
Where are you going?
We have to be cautious and aware as people when we're dealing with others, because that result of these black men, no matter where you are, if you're a foundational black man and you're caught up in escapism, there's not a good end for this, brother man. It's going to take the blood pressure down. What are some solutions that we need? Where do we go from here?
In terms of escaping escapism?
Yes. Escaping escapism.
You made a good point saying that we're all escaping from something. So maybe this is a coping mechanism that humans have, because, you know, we do escape into religion. We do escape into reading books. We do escape into watching Instagram. So maybe it's something that we do as a coping mechanism. And I think you're maybe referring to the extreme type of escapism, which would be, like you said, the Africans going to the Middle East and getting treated like servants because they don't want to live in poverty, or even the Black Americans going to Japan to escape racism because we don't want to deal with it, even though it's a global phenomenon. What I'm hearing, especially for Blacks, we need to get our financial base intact. That's it. Don't press go. Don't collect $200. Shout out to Dr. Claude Anderson and his book, Power Economics.
Yes.
That book is, girl, when I read that book, you know, I'm a doctor, I feel like a dumb. I was like, man, this is that book is like the Bible for Blacks, especially for foundational Black Americans. But what we need to do as foundational Black Americans, we need to have a financial base. We need to do business with ourselves, build up Black America, and then we'll build up the other Blacks, just like Japan has built up Japan. Now, Japan did get help with the Marshall Plan from the U.S. But that's a whole nother topic. But the point is, Japan is built, and now they send their stuff over to Thailand, to Singapore, well, not so much to Singapore because they're rich, but to Thailand, to Vietnam, and they help other Asian countries. That's what Blacks have to do. There's nothing else to say. That's it. Build up your economic base, work together, and then we don't have to escape nowhere because we can live in the real Wakanda. That's it.
If I'm hearing you correctly, when foundational Black Americans can get their credit and their money up, which leads to political power, then our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, Brazil, Belize, and Africa, that's where the power lies. But all this talking with no money, honey, will get you no political seat and laughed at. Just a bunch of social media warriors.
Exactly. Yeah, and I always say foundational Black Americans are the leaders of Blacks simply because we're the richest Blacks on the planet, and that's not a diss, that's just facts, and I'm not saying that we're better. We're not better than any of the other Blacks because we come from the Africans, you know what I'm saying? I always say Africans are the best, and Africa is the best. I'm just saying that financially, we're the richest. I mean, shout out to Dr. Claude Anderson. This is in his book. We're the most trained, we're the most educated, and those are facts. It's not me saying that we're better. We're just in a better slave position, because all Blacks globally, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, are really in a slave-like state. I mean, because our finances are not what it is. Shout out to Tariq Nasheed. When you look at the planet, and America specifically, we live in a big old plantation. We live in on plantation. The Black Americans are trying to escape the plantation, and everyone else, including other colors, are trying to come in. Now, when you apply that to the global, it's the same thing. We live on a big plantation, and because our economic base is not intact, we're slaves. I mean, it is what it is. You can get mad at me, whatever, but it is what it is.
Yeah, shout out to Tariq Nasheed. He recently said last week that one of the things he's trying to do is start a Black Museum for the Foundational Black Americans, by us, for us, and to also serve as a meeting place. When he said that, he was like, yeah, these conference rooms can be used as that unbiased ground for us to get together and have our meetings. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, that's very clever, because all before, you're going to patronize another race, whether it's your favorite franchise, the Marriott. And then, because you're on someone else's ground on the plantation, honey, you're going to sit here and do what the ancestors did, which is have church service with a European, a white person sitting there listening to everything that you're saying. Whereas when we have our own museum, we'll have that freedom and flexibility to do for ourselves. The first step is self-sustainability. So, shout out.
Exactly. And shout out to Tariq Nasheed for that hidden museum. I want to do something similar to that in Japan, obviously on a maybe on a smaller scale, because Japan is smaller and you would need to raise a lot of funds to do something like that. But I mean, that's an excellent, excellent idea. And even if I couldn't just outright open a museum, I could always do an exposition. Is that right? I'm tired.
Yes.
I could always do
an expo. Yes.
Expo, thank you, expo. I can always do an expo to, you know, showcase our history, because we have a very, very proud history, very proud history. I just learned that we have a language called Tut or Tutanese, which I didn't even know about. So I'm about to learn that, and we can, you know, converse in that. Did you hear about that? Tut, as in King Tut?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Shout out. If you go to Google Tariq Nasheed and Tut, the whole program will show up on YouTube. It's good. It's really good.
Ooh, thanks for the feedback on that, guys. Make sure you Google it. Well, Dr. Champagne, I want to thank you for coming in today, because this topic on escapism gives us a lot to think about. And now we have our solutions, people. Let's get our credit scores up. Let's be more self-sustained. Yeah. Matter of fact, shout outs to everybody out there in the Caribbean islands, to Jamaica, to the Caribbean Radio Show. When we're able to sit here and import and export sea moss, you know what we're doing? We're healing ourselves, because we know that it has over 100 minerals that the body needs. You know that you produce it and you make the world's best on your island. Therefore, we're able to do transactions and heal ourselves financially and health-wise. So, Doc, I appreciate you coming in, and I hope that next time we get together, we can do an episode on your boy, Dr. Umar, because you're bigging him up, and I would love to just call these brothers out. There's a lot of things going on in the community, whether they're good or bad experiences, but I want to have some more chit-chats and see if we can elevate the sisters who are doing the great work like you are. And also, next time, let's go ahead and talk about some of these scamming influencers that are out there to protect the people, to protect the children, and protect our dollars.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And just one more thing. You said about us importing and exporting. It's Black Americans. It's our job as the leaders to start that. What we can do, like I've been saying this, like even me and my African boyfriend talk about this. I was like, listen, Blacks, unfortunately, we got to go back to the basic. Farming, STEM, growing our own vegetables, building. I said, you know, Dr. Claude Anderson in his book, Power Economics, he said that what Blacks could do, let's start growing our own vegetables. You can do that if we buy a bunch of abandoned buildings. I mean, not buildings, but houses. We can turn those into hydroponic. I hope I'm saying it right. Hydroponic. Farms.
That's right. You will have our fisheries right at the bottom and our plant life at the top. And it's all self-sustainable, people.
Yes. And easy to do inside. So it's a farm, but you use water instead of dirt, which is super, super cool. And then we can start exporting that to the Caribbean, to Africa. Well, actually, probably not to Africa, because they got everything. But my point is we have to start from the bottom. Farming, building, STEM.
Right. Well, thank you again, Doc. And to everybody out there that's listening, make sure you know, here at the Caribbean Radio Show, yes, we are the knowledge station, always here to give you valuable information, solutions that you can use. This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey. And until next time, do bye-bye, boo.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.